Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Word of God, picked for our spiritual growth this morning, is from John chapter 9, the first 11 verses. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." So far the word of God. There's a sign that hangs in the seminary classroom that reads, "Erkatai nux." Now those two Greek words are taken from our text this morning. In verse 4, the Apostle John records, "Night is coming," and that's what those two words mean. They serve as a constant reminder to every student and professor in that classroom that time is running out for the mission that our Lord Jesus has sent all of us on. The mission of spreading his gospel message. When Jesus said, "Erkatai nux," night is coming, he wasn't talking about the end of the world. No, he was talking about each and every individual's life and death here on earth. So how many years of light have you had? How many years do you have left? Although unnatural and not what God intended for the world, death now reigns for all men. So death is going to come for you too. The curse of sin, first pronounced in the Garden of Eden, still holds true today. "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Besides Enoch and Elijah, the Lord has told us about no one who has made it off of this planet without dying. And you are not going to be the exception. Death awaits at the end of every life, and then there will be no more time for this great and wonderful work that God has given to you. In fact, that is why God has given you light and life in the first place, so that we can do the work of God who has sent us. In Ephesians we read, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." God has mission work set aside for you. God's going to put you in situations where you are the only one who has that sweet gospel message that those around you need to hear. Are you ready? The correct answer is yes. But sadly, we often act as though the answer is no. We miss the opportunity to share what we believe. The situation can feel as if it's just not quite the right time to talk about Jesus. Maybe you've shared the gospel with them before and they didn't take it all that well, and so you wouldn't want to share it again. Other times, you might miss the opportunity, not because you didn't say anything at all, but because you said the wrong thing. You'll focus on what you and the people you're talking to are supposed to be doing for Christ, instead of talking about what Christ has done for you. Now, before we move on, I'd like for you to remember back to the last framed photo you saw. Now, I'm not talking about a photo that you saw flipping through your phone or through an old pile of photos. Now, think back to the last framed photo that was set out by someone for other people to see. Can you see that image clearly? Do you remember the frame? If you do, I'm guessing that you remember the frame much less clearly than the photo. And there's a reason for that. We don't set empty frames on the wall to appreciate the frame. No, you hang a frame to look at the picture. Well, the Christian life frames Christ in a similar way. We are not the highlight of Christianity, but we can be a frame where Christ can be clearly seen. His actions in our lives, in bringing us to faith, giving us a new man, and redoing the priorities in our lives, makes our lives, a frame for him. And we're not perfect frames, but we are frames nonetheless. The man in our text, that blind man, he's the perfect example of framing your life around Christ. When people asked him who had done this wonderful thing of giving him sight, something that was unheard of, he said plainly that Jesus had done it. Jesus cured his blindness both physically and spiritually. Later on in this chapter, we read of this man confessing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He had faith. Jesus did more than just cure his physical blindness. He cured his spiritual blindness as well. So now this man used his new sight, his new light in his life, to shine light back on the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And that's the real answer for how to be ready for those mission opportunities that God is going to give you. Shine your light on the light. We can shine on Christ by emphasizing all the things that he has done for us. We can speak of how God has given us the peace of knowing that all of our wrongs and misdeeds and sins are forgiven and paid for in Jesus Christ. We can share how the love that Christ showed us gives us direction for how to live our earthly lives. We can tell of how Christ has given us the hope of eternal life by rising from the grave that glorious Easter morning. We can express how Jesus gives us the joy of knowing that our relationship with God stands established in his cleansing, forgiving blood. Jesus does not let the Father look at us except through his cleansing blood. And then washed clean of our stains and robed in his righteousness, God sees us as his perfect children, whom he will one day welcome into heaven. The light of the world has paid the price for you to join God in heaven, and he has paid it for everyone else as well. That is why he sends you to spread the message of this wonderful forgiveness that he's offering to you, to every person near and far. The light of the world sends you to be a light that shines on the light. Amen. We'll sing of this light in hymn 498, the first and last verse.